Hi, I'm Dave Crane from Turbocharge Your Brand TV. I've created, in a very short space of 4 months and 20 episodes, 86 countries watching this show. There's thousands of people every single week tuning in to see how they can really improve their own personal branding. So how can I do it? Well, there's a puzzle and a special formula. And most people have no idea what it is, but I do, and I can share it with you. How do you like to be the king or queen or head of business in your social media, market, niche and community? How do you like to hit exactly the people that you want to reach in as many countries as me? Well, we can work on that together. You can dominate your region and also get fans and friends from all around the world. Would that make you more money? I think it would, and you do too. So contact me here at Turbocharge Your Brand TV. Contact me on this email address, dave@thelifedesigners.com, and together, let's really turbocharge your brand too. Hi, I'm Dave Crane. Welcome back to Turbocharge Your Brand TV. And this is episode number 20. I can't believe it either. Amazing show lined up for you. First of all, talking to James Reynolds all about how you can get found online. Also, giving you the do's and don'ts of creating a cult around your business. And on top of that, we'll be looking at the profile of the comeback kid. The number one guy in Hollywood who's been all the way down to the bottom and all the way back up again. And right now, he's buzzing. Iron Man, Sherlock Holmes, Robert Downey Jr. All this and more on Turbocharge Your Brand TV. Ask Dave, the opportunity for you to ask me any question whatsoever, and I'll find an answer from somewhere that works for you. Callum Boyd says to me, Dave, I need more confidence. I need to get a girlfriend. I need to get a job, or at least a better job. How can I do it when I feel so small and it's getting me depressed? Well, very simple, Callum. There's a couple of techniques that you can use that will instantly make changes just for you. First of all, act as if. What's that mean? Well, you know when you say to your mind, you say to yourself, I'm a superstar, and it goes, no you're not, you're fat and horrible. Well, act as if you are already a superstar. And in terms of what you say in your mind, say that I am in the process of becoming a superstar, or a millionaire, or a really hot bloke, or whatever it is you decide that you want to be. Your mind will go, in the process of, so we're not really there yet, but we're on the way. Okay, I'll buy into that. And acting as if it's true already starts to build up that confidence. Because the thing that's keeping you down is lots of things that are programmed into your mind from a very young age, before the age of 7, where you are knocked back for lots of different things, all from the right reasons. Think about it. A toddler, and if you've got any brothers or sisters, you may experience this yourself, up to the age of 1, 2, 3, whatever age is, they're running about in the front room, picking up a glass, they get told, put it down, you'll break it. And it's not being told to be horrible, it's being told because otherwise it will break on the floor, they'll get covered in glass, it's very dangerous. But at the same time, being told no that many different times in your life embeds it into your subconscious mind. So later on, you expect to get a no from everybody. And the more that you get as a no from people, society, relationships, potential partners, it just reinforces that programming that was made from a very early age. So what you do is you start to reconquer yourself and start to own yourself by acting as if and saying, I'm in the progress, or I'm in the process of becoming whatever it is that you intend to do. Now, as you go through that whole process, you might as well go through a few different ways as well. First of all, the way that you talk to yourself, be nicer. Don't say horrible things to make yourself feel terrible, because it does make you feel terrible. Laugh at stuff, even in your mind, to yourself. Be happy with everything you do as though you're in a comedy show. Doesn't mean you have to look stupid. It just means you're the star of the show, because let's face it, you are. And the key thing to every single question that you've got to me is to ask better questions of yourself. Your mind is a supercomputer, and it'll give you any answer that you want. But it'll give you an answer back in the form of how you ask that question. So if you say to yourself, why am I fat and horrible without a girlfriend? It'll say, because you eat too much and you stink. Well, it might not be true. It might be true. It might not be true. Instead, ask a better question, like, how can I get the girl of my dreams, and how can I look fantastic? And it'll say, learn to talk to girls. Do a studying course on dating and dating techniques. Go to the gym. It'll give you a load of different ideas, but ones that you can work on. And then you say, okay, where do I get this information from? And it'll say, a library, or Google it, or talk to a friend, or find out who you know is very good at talking to girls and ask some advice. Get all those different things together, but start asking yourself better questions. It all starts from there. And when you're wondering how to fast track it, get a mentor, or even if you can't get somebody to help you, model people. Modeling people means watching films, watching TV, watching experts in real life. See what they do. And like an actor, pretend to be them, going back to the act as if idea again. If they were in your situation, what would they say to you? Listen to your subconscious mind, which will give you all those answers. Whether they're true or not doesn't matter. Your subconscious mind will find exactly the right interpretation for you, and it will create it the way it should be. Do you have a website or a presence online and you get really frustrated because people aren't going there? Or even worse, they are going there, but they just bounce off. Even if you know the Google Analytics and say, you know what, they stay on the site for 30 seconds, 3 seconds, you don't know how to make more people stay there and get involved in your website, you need to reactivate it. And that's why we're talking to James Reynolds, the boss of Web Reactivators. He is an expert on search engine optimization and how to get your website to turn it around so it starts playing the job it's meant to do. Not being a glorified brochure, being a living, breathing part of your business. So how do you do it? We ask that question to James Reynolds. He's up next on Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
Put out great content. That is the main thing. Got to remember that this is about creating quality content for the marketplace that is going to be of value to the end user. So writing good content, making great videos, perhaps doing audios, even infographics, all of these things now are really great content that is shareable. Now, if you do great content and you provide value to the marketplace, people will share that stuff, and that's going to give you traction out there on the search engines and will get your ranking climbing.
Where do you see the industry going? Now that people are starting to notice that there's an internet and there might be a place for them on it, where do you see this going in the future?
In terms of online as a whole, or?
Pretty much in terms of how for businesses they can start using the internet more.
Well, I think businesses have got to wake up initially to the fact that they have to be online. Latest stats are something like 97% of people will be using the internet somewhere in their buying decision. So they're going to be out there looking for the products and services you provide. If you're not present on the internet, you're not present. People are not going to find you. So sort of opening up to the fact that you've got to be there first is a really good start. And then it's really finding the best channels. And they do vary from business to business. Some businesses are going to be more socially influenced. Some are going to be more search influenced. Others are going to get great leverage out of things like podcasts. So it's really understanding where your market's hanging out and then really tying into those resources to make the most of it.
Right, time to look at your outer game, and this is an amazing way to really build your business. Now, it's scary. When you say the word cult, some people think, oh my goodness, you're going to spiritually get into my head with religion and all sorts of things, and it's all the stuff you read about on the news. And actually, it is true. I'm going to teach you in the next 5 minutes exactly how you can grow a cult just like the biggest ones on the planet. I'm not talking about the nasty ones, I'm talking about the ones that people will do anything for the brand. The likes of Virgin and Apple. Ah, now you're interested in it. Okay, here's 10 ways to build that perfect cult, that perfect brand, and get everybody to love your stuff. Number one, create an invisible enemy. This enemy has to be somebody that everybody can agree is not good for you. It can be somebody that you're fighting but you'll never ever beat. So big, so intangible, that the battle is all you need. Think about it. In terms of something like Apple, the battle is against the PC. You'll never beat the PC, but you don't want to. You want to position yourself as the best option for people who don't want to work with a PC. For Virgin, it's the establishment. They've got a really cool product. The minute they become the establishment, they're not cool anymore. So think about how that works with your product. Who's your enemy? In my case, it's education. The education system does not teach you all the stuff that we do on this show. And it never will. Which is why you watch this. Number two. Let's look at your inner circle. You have to create an inner circle of all the closest people who are on the inside of your business. For them, you can sell almost everything, but they would create a circle around you, protecting you from the outside world, answering all the questions and deflecting things that would come towards you that would otherwise knock you off your perch. Remember, this isn't about you, this is about creating a cult around your product. Number three, you've got to be distant. You've got to be distant and you've got to be very enigmatic. Think about all the great cult leaders, whether you're talking about Steve Jobs or you're talking about Richard Branson. You're talking about somebody who's so wow, you'd never get a chance to meet somebody like that. But when you see them, you just go, they know their stuff. And they come across as very ordinary, but also, in the same way, very aloof. Create that around you. Whilst doing press conferences, while sending out messages to people, position yourself as an expert, but also make it slightly difficult to get access to you. Get somebody to answer your emails for you. Or even better, if you're doing it on your own, don't make it your personal email address. Make it an info at and sign it on behalf of somebody else, if you can. Number four, never, ever quantify the amount of money that you're making. People don't need to know. The minute they can put a figure on what you're worth financially, they'll also put a figure on what you're worth spiritually and in terms of their relationship with you. Keep it vague. And when you're making lots of money, keep it vague. Just assume that everything's working out fine and everyone's going to watch you on your pedestal and wonder why they haven't got the same as well. Number five, make sure that you reward people much later. Or at least give them the idea that when they are able to create the success, it will be later on. The battle's important right now. Stay with me. Religions do it very well. The next life is a great way of doing it. I'm not here to knock religion, but I'm saying that by offering rewards further off in the distance, you'll get the most out of people right now while they're involved in the struggle. Think about The Wizard of Oz. That film was all about going to see the wizard. When he met the wizard, it was like, he's a small bloke. Number six, celebrate little victories. Little things that happen here or there that make you go, wow, it's all working. We're heading towards our final target. Big victories are always useful. Make sure you make a big song and dance about that. But little victories, if you position them right and let everybody know that it's part of a bigger plan, it will seem exactly like part of that much bigger plan. People will buy into it and they'll tell all their friends, have you noticed what's happened over there? Even if it's something small. This is at the heart of all guerrilla marketing. And certainly, if you're going to create terrorism, it's the same thing as well. Terrorists never ever take out the big stuff and fight a big head-to-head battle. They work it all on fear. They make the opposition keep looking because it can never find them. Little victories here and there mean the threat is endemic and everywhere. And you can have a very small unit, a very small force, and have a huge impact on the opposition by making the most of tiny little victories. Number seven, talk apples and pears. What does that mean, Dave? Well, very simply, in terms of what you're talking about, don't explain everything in terms that people would understand. Keep it all vague. Use flowery language. Use lots of different stories and images and ways that they can interpret their own stuff. The minute you tell people exactly as it is, then they will say yes or no. And if they say no, they don't want to play with you anymore. So keep it all very vague, all your language, all the stuff you're talking about, so people can tap in from whatever perspective they're looking at and go, you know what, you're probably right. You want to know how that works? Grab a bumper sticker, have a read of it, and think how many people go, yeah, I believe you, without actually being specific about their own stuff. Number eight, kick out all the unbelievers. It's true. This is a cult we're creating, not a tribe. We're creating a way that you can elevate your business to be at the very top. You do not need dissenters, certainly not from within you don't. Make sure that you get rid of anybody who doesn't buy into your brand from the start to the finish. They have to be part of everything, so if they are approached by anybody on the outside, they give the same uniform message. Number nine, make a rule book. Make it very clear for everybody exactly what you have to do to stay inside the group and what you will not tolerate to get people kicked out. And on a regular basis, sacrifice somebody and kick them out so everybody else decides to play ball even more to make sure they stay in. And number 10, this is the most important thing. If you're creating a cult, make it all about you. You have to embody every single part of it. You have to live and breathe your rules, your initiation, your exact environment and community. When you don't embody everything, it falls to bits and it all comes crumbling down. Think about religious leaders, political leaders, or everybody on television who suddenly made a mockery of themselves because people found out the gossip behind what was really going on. So it has to be all about you. But you can also keep it very vague. Keep it very vague and be prepared to apologize on a regular basis when everything comes out that you didn't tell people about. Or even better, don't let it out. So that's how you create a cult. I would say it's much more ethical to create a tribe. Get people to buy in because they want to be there, not because they're scared to be on the outside. And you can use more or less the same kind of rules, but for the betterment of every single person. And also, when it comes to heretics and people don't like it, bring them back in. Teach them exactly what it is that you want to do. On Turbocharge Your Brand TV, I get to introduce a real hero of mine. So look at their business model and look at their highs and lows. I don't think anybody hits the highs and lows quite as much as this next guy. Started off in films and TV from the age of 5. He's been an actor and one of the best of his generation. And his generation included the Brat Pack, the likes of Tom Cruise, Emilio Estevez, Charlie Sheen and so on. He went on to star in some amazing films and did very, very well, even getting an Oscar nomination for Chaplin. But what people didn't know was all the way through, he was dealing with addictions, drug, alcohol, you name it. So badly that when he fell from grace, wasn't able to work on set, he lost his wife, he lost his business, I lost everything around him. And that's when he decided to make that tipping point and make that change. He came back bigger and better than ever before. He made a load of films that were tentpole examples of what a great actor he is. And I think he must be seen as the best of his generation because you've seen his films and gone, he is so cool. There's nobody else who could possibly come across as Iron Man in the same way as him. There's no one either who's able to reinvent Sherlock Holmes in the same way that he can carry that film. Not only as an action star, but somebody who you know has got a brain and can do comedy, can do serious, can do every single part of his business. So what's it like to make that comeback, and can you do that with your business? It shows you it doesn't matter how low you go, you can always come back. And nobody comes back as high as this guy, Robert Downey Jr. and Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
He was a troubled actor who made several high-profile comebacks before securing himself as a Hollywood superstar. Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we'll be taking a look at the career of Robert Downey Jr. Born in New York City on April 4, 1965, he was influenced to take up acting at a young age by his parents, who were both film performers. By the time he was 10, he had already appeared in 2 of his father's films and had been sent overseas to study classical ballet. Afterward, he returned home to attend the Stage Door Manor Performing Arts Training Center and in 1985 joined the cast of Saturday Night Live. Unfortunately, he was fired the following year due to low ratings. Despite this false start in television, he had already appeared in several coming-of-age films, such as Back to School and Weird Science, before landing his first lead role in 1987's The Pickup Artist.
What's your name?
Randy.
That's a great name. That's really original sounding for such a female-looking girl.
That same year, he received attention for his portrayal of a junkie in Less Than Zero. Ironically, Downey soon got caught up in his own struggle with substance abuse. At first, his career seemed unaffected as he began starring opposite top Hollywood talent, such as Mel Gibson, in Air America. He also won a BAFTA award and secured an Academy Award nomination for his riveting performance in the biographical film Chaplin. However, in 1996, things started to fall apart when he was arrested for driving under the influence while in possession of heroin and a firearm. As a result, Downey was required to take daily drug tests on the set of 1997's Two Girls and a Guy. While he managed to stay clean for the shoot, he quickly fell back into his old habit and spent several years drifting back and forth between treatment facilities and prison. In 2000, Downey attempted to refresh his career and public image by appearing in the popular drama series Ally McBeal. While he received high praise for his performance, he was dropped when he was once again arrested on possession charges. His uphill battle to clean himself up came to a head on the set of 2003's horror film Gothica, when he met his second wife and gained strength from her support. Following this turning point, he set out to re-energize his career by landing parts in various projects, such as Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Good Night and Good Luck, and the 2007 thriller Zodiac.
Do you know that more people die in the East Bay commute every 3 months than that idiot ever killed?
In 2008, Downey finally made it big when he appeared in his first ever blockbuster film, Iron Man, as the rich industrialist turned superhero Tony Stark, before starring opposite Ben Stiller in the comedy hit Tropic Thunder. The offbeat role was so well received that he was awarded with an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Downey then further positioned himself as a box office juggernaut by starring in Guy Ritchie's wildly successful adaptation of Sherlock Holmes, before again wearing the robotic suit that made him an overnight sensation in Iron Man 2 and 2012's The Avengers.
Actually, I asked Mel to present this award to me for a reason, because when I couldn't get sober, he told me not to give up hope, and he urged me to find my faith. Didn't have to be his or anyone else's as long as it was rooted in forgiveness. And I couldn't get hired, so he cast me in the lead of a movie that was actually developed for him, and he kept a roof over my head, and he kept food on the table. And most importantly, he said that if I accepted responsibility for my wrongdoings, and if I embraced that part of my soul that was ugly, hugging the cactus, he calls it, he said that if I hugged the cactus long enough, I'd become a man of some humility, and that my life would take on a new meaning. And I did, and it worked. All he asked in return was that someday I help the next guy in some small way. It's reasonable to assume that at the time he didn't imagine the next guy would be him. Or that someday was tonight. So anyway, on this special occasion, and in light of the recent holidays, including Columbus Day, I humbly ask that you join me, unless you are completely without sin, in which case you picked the wrong industry, in forgiving my friend his trespasses, offering him the same clean slate you have me, and allowing him to continue his great and ongoing contribution to our collective art without shame. He's hugged the cactus long enough.
Episode 20, real milestone in my life, and hopefully for your business too. I never thought I'd get out of bed enough times to make that show happen, but I did 20 times, and the next one's going to be even better. We'll be finding out from Dr. Sanjay Parashar, who's a really top plastic surgeon, whether you need to make special efforts to change your appearance, or maybe those changes have to come from within, inside. Instead, we'll also be giving you the one thing that as an entrepreneur, as a business leader, and as a high achiever, you need to have. 10 reasons why you need to have it. I'm not even going to even tell you what they are until next week. And on top of that, we'll be looking at a woman who has dominated the entire music industry, walking away with 6 Grammys at the last awards, then deciding to tell the world, you know what? I'm off for 5 years. I'm not going to make any more music. I've done enough right now, and I might come back, but I might not. And you know what? When you meet her, when you see her, you'll believe she'll do anything that she wants, whenever she wants, and still be a success. She's called Adele. Google her, listen to her music, and you know what we're talking about. Adele, Dr. Sanjay Parashar, some great tips, and the one thing you need to know to really boost yourself in your business, what more could you want? This show, in 1 week's time, Turbocharge Your Brand TV.